You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Making waves.
Well, welcome everyone to Making Waves, the Shiprock Podcast. Very special evening tonight. We have, he's a goddamn legend. And let me just give him his accolades. If you just landed on planet Earth, Black Label Society, Ozzy Osbourne, Zach Sabbath, Pride and Glory, Book of Shadows, Generation X, and a whole list, a whole other list of things. Coffee icon.
I'm a professional dog walker now. That's what I've been doing for the last year. So yeah, that's
right. Author, actor. That's right. And the head and creator of Zach, or is it Wild Audio? Apologize, Wild Audio. Zach Wild, everyone. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. So this is big, man. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I have to keep reminding.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Listen, this has been one that a lot of our viewers and our people that come on our cruise have just been stoked to know that was coming. So we're really happy about it. So again, thanks, cool. Brother.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah. Let's get into it, man. You've had some downtime, which for you is pretty absurd.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta be honest with you this is like the longest I've been home for probably the last 20 plus years.
Yeah,
Matt, you know what I mean? Wow. I'm saying, last couple of years, it would be between Black Label, Oz, Generation X, Experience Hendrix, and then doing Zach Sabbath. So if we're not on the road with one of them, then I'm out on the road with some, you know, as soon as Black Label gets done doing the world tour or whatever, when we're done with that, then we do a Zach Sabbath run, then I'm back out on the road, you know, with Oz. We were rolling on that tour. And then after that, like when I'm home, then I'm out on Generation X, then we're doing Experience Hendrix. So, I mean, but I love it, you know, cause I love, you know, that's the reason why you had pictures of Jimmy Page up on the wall. I still do, but you know what I mean? But it's just, that's the reason, you know, we wanted to play, you know, me being a kid, having pictures of Thurman Munson up on the wall. And now we're playing professional baseball. Like, so it never gets old, you know what I mean? That's what you always wanted to do. But I mean, I do have friends, you know, that actually are just like, dude, you're still touring so much? You know what I mean? I'm saying guys that when I first, you know, because now that I just turned 54. So I mean, buddies, when back in 88, 87, you know, when I first started with Oz, they're just like, man, Zach, I couldn't take it anymore, man. I got off the road or whatever, you know what I mean? So I don't blame them. I mean, it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you have to be cut out for it, man. I mean,
yeah. Plus you're probably in the best shape of your life.
I've been on stage where I was just like, man, I want to go home. You know what I mean? No.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yes. Every night I look forward to getting up on stage every night.
Yeah. You're definitely one of those cats that was basically built for this. This is your thing. And like I just mentioned, you're probably in the best shape you've been in, I can imagine, years.
Well, I mean, you'd have to attribute that to, like, because I don't drink anymore, but I you know, what I did is I replaced it with sniffing glue and eating paint chips. And it's definitely less filling. And the results are astoundingly the same, though. Yeah. I wake up in the morning with my pants around my ankles, and the fellas are like, bro, you were hilarious last night. I don't remember any of it, but if you're telling me it was a good time and nobody got hurt, yeah, we're good to go.
Hey, speaking of good time,
I have to see your rider. It's just like Elmer's.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of hilarious, one of the things before we get into everything music based is your Instagram page is fucking hysterical. It's full of punches, pranks, relationship therapy, which is always genius, and then you got to be tough. Okay. I mean,
of course, yeah. And then I'm just beyond completely terrified and frightened.
Oh my God. So, I mean, obviously, this also stems from your personality. I mean,
my label, relationship therapy. Wait, advice from a guy who has no business giving you advice.
But man, you're in the world
of Black Label.
You are definitely helping push the catalogs of some soft rock artists. That's for sure.
I love my yacht rock. I love it, man.
Oh, absolutely. My God. That's amazing. Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite to really just like soft rock out to nowadays?
I'll put Yacht Rock Essentials on, man.
Oh, you just go with the Jock Jams of rock, yacht rock.
Everything, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I love it. That's great.
Hey, everyone kind of knows what your pedigree is, whether it's for Allman Brothers or Sabbath or Zeppelin or whoever. We've kind of seen the template for a lot of stuff you do and how you perform and what your recorded output is. Is there an artist that people would be super surprised if you really enjoy?
I don't know. I mean, I listen to everything. I mean, because with Zach Sabbath, with Joey C, Joey's a huge, he's the punk rock aficionado, you know what I mean? So, And like, I completely missed the boat with that. I mean, I love London Calling and the Clash and everything, like when that first came out and everything like that. But it's just like, by the time because the thing is, when I started playing guitar, obviously I was probably right around high school. We left Pop Warner and I started playing high school ball and I couldn't play linebacker. That's when I started playing guitar. But it was just for us, it was just learning with my guitar teacher. Obviously I was a huge Sabbath freako, and then obviously Jimmy Page. And then my guitar teacher was a huge Jimi Hendrix guy. So, you know, it was all Jimi Hendrix. Then I learned about Robin Troward and Frank Marino. And then I started learning about John McLaughlin, you know, Mahavishnu Orchestra and Al DiMeola. And, you know, now I'm like learning about all these guitar players I would have never probably listened to if I wasn't a guitar player. So like the punk thing was more of an aggression thing and everything like that. So there was nothing there for me. You know what I mean? Because for me, it was just kind of like, you know, I'm learning Sabbath and I'm learning them. And then all of a sudden St. Rhodes comes out and you got Eddie Van Halen, you know, it's just like everyone's trying to learn Eruption. I'm not interested in learning Ramon songs at that point. You know what I mean? I want to learn how to play Flying High again or something like that. But I mean, and then getting into John McLaughlin and, you know, then it was all speed thing and everything like that. So
yeah. When you're listening to Return Forever, it's kind of hard to go back to punk rock and appreciate it.
Yeah. I love it now. I mean, you know, you appreciate it for what it is, you know, what it's all, and the aggression and what it's all about. But I mean, it's just like, no different than like anybody, if I played any, for my punk friends, you know, Elegant Gypsy or Land at a Midnight Sun, they would go, Zach, honestly, turn this crap off, man. Right. What am I listening to? Or, you know, I put on some Joe Pass for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Little do they know.
Zach, there's nothing here for me, bro. Turn it off. You got to check out some Alan Holdsworth. You're going to love this.
Yes. Date music.
It was pretty funny, man. But no, I mean, as far as what I listen to everything. I mean, you know, obviously when I first started, it was Elton John. And it's so funny because me and Bob, we always get remarried every other 2 weeks, and then we let it go a month and then we'll get remarried. But anyways, we had Oz was there, Mom was there. We had all our friends. We went out to Vegas and Elton John was playing, right? So Mom is friends with him. So she had it set up so I could actually meet him, right? And so we went there with Oz and everything like that, right? So there's me and Ozzy, and we're watching Elton and everything like that. So we go back and meet Elton, and I still have the book. I'll have to go get it. I had this book when I was from 1975, when I was like 8 years old, because I saw him play on the Sonny and Cher show when I guess he was promoting the Captain Fantastic Brown Dirt Cowboy album. And he did Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And I remember getting chills seeing that. And I was like, just the power of music. You know what I mean? I'm just blown away by it. But I remember going over to my buddy Scott, you know, the Smiths were our next door neighbors. 11 kids, six boys, five girls, all out of Mrs. Smith. So, and the ages range.
They live in a shoe?
George Jr. And everyone always asks, I go, well, are they Catholic? I go, yes, they are. But anyway, so it's like the ages. George Sr. was 44 and Scotty was my buddy. Same age as me. He was the youngest. So we were like 11. So the ages went from 44 to like 11. But I remember going over to the house and going, man, I just saw this guy, Elton John, the other night. And he played this song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamond. It was so awesome. They were like, you moron. That's a Beatles song, you idiot. And you know, I didn't even know it was a Beatles song, you know? So then, and it was like the same thing. It's whatever you find out first. You know what I mean? Like with 007, I thought, you know, it was the first movie we saw was Moonraker. And we were like, you know, so that was with Roger. It wasn't, you know, Sean Connery. So yeah. I was just like, man, we just saw, you know, James Bond. We saw Moonraker. And they go, wait, that's not Sean Connery. I go, who's Sean Connery? And they beat me up profusely in the backyard for that one, the older brothers, you know what I mean? But they were like, no, that's not a Bond movie, you know? So, and then they beat me up about the Elton John thing as well, because they were like, it's a Beatles song, not an Elton John song. So, but no, so I took that book, though, and went back there, and Elton actually signed it. He goes, Zach, I remember when I said, I've had this book since I've been 8 years old, right? And I remember, but it was so funny. I'm sitting here looking at Ozzy and Elton John. We're both talking, right? And Mom and Barbara Ann. And it's just like, I'm just looking going, my whole childhood is sitting right in front of me. Because like, and I mean, that's what everything I'm playing is based off of pretty much those two guys. It's like, it was basically like Lennon and McCartney sitting in front of me. You know what I mean? Because between Sabbath, at first it was Elton John I discovered. And then after that, you know, like later on, I remember when we were in like, I don't know, maybe sixth grade or something, I was in art class and my buddy Tommy had older brothers. He actually drew basically Scully, you know, the Black Label Scully, our, you know, our brave corporate logo over there, you know, so you got Scully and the jawless skull. And I was like, oh, what is that? It said Black Sabbath 666 with a lightning bolt going through it. Or whatever. We were making it in the art class. And I go, what is that? He goes, oh, it's this band my brothers listen to. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, cool. Never even heard of them. Never knew one song. And I remember I ended up going to the record store. And my mom was like, you know, if you want to get a record, you can get an album. So she goes, only one album. So I obviously, I got We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll because it's a double album. That's right. Complete scumbag. So I was like terrified I'm going to get hit with lightning on the way out, you know. So, but anyway, all I remember is putting the album on and just being completely terrified, listening, you know. And then you have the gatefold with the chick in the coffin, you know, with the cross and everything. And I was just like, when I did an introduction for Sabbath at a Lifetime Achievement Award thing they got or whatever, I was just like, yeah, I remember putting the needle on. And listening, and I was Catholic when I put it on. And then about halfway through side two, because it's a double album, I turned into a complete Satanist halfway through the album. And then upon the completion of the record, I went back to Catholicism just so I could thank God for creating Black Sabbath.
That's right.
It's the production, but that actually did happen. But it was pretty crazy. I'm sitting here looking at Ozzy and Elton John, like sitting right in front, you know, so like pretty much since I was like 8 years old to like finding Sabbath at 11. And now, you know, it was pretty mind blowing.
You know? I was going to ask you, with someone of your stature and the people you've played with and your longevity in this business, do you still have those moments though, where you kind of like you're 12 years old again going, holy shit, look at these people in front of me. And I can't believe
it. You never want to lose that. You know what right. I mean? Whenever I'm writing riffs or anything, you know, it's just, you never, ever, ever want to lose that. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't matter if, you know, if you're playing baseball and your heroes are Ty Cobb and Pete Rose and everything like that, and you surpass them in hits, it doesn't matter. You always want to have them up here. You know what I'm saying? No matter whether you break their records or whatever, it doesn't matter. you never, to that, you know, they'll always be here, you know, to like, they'll hold that value, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that awe that you had when you were, as you're climbing up, you never want to lose that. I mean, cause whenever, you know, cause like I said, I still have like up at the Vatican, I got, you know, instead of having them taped to the wall now, I got massive pictures of them, but I got, you know, I got John McLaughlin up there, Jimmy Page, Tony Iommi, Frank Marino, St. Rhodes, Al DiMeola. And I mean, the whole Vatican up there is just pictures of, you know, all my heroes, which they still are. So, I mean, you know, in our bedroom, Barb has nothing but pictures of me all over the place. You know what I mean?
Of course. Of course. Yeah,
of course.
I mean, our bed sheets are pictures of me like on.
Does that creep you out at all? When you come in the room, you're like, ah.
That's all different. Thing, you know?
Got it.
But, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, I remember when I actually played with the Allman Brothers, right? I remember we were working. It was after we were in the studio working on like He on the Other Side and everything like that at the time. It was right after we were working on bonus tracks that were going to be on the Live and Loud album. And I remember their agent, Johnny Bordeaux, he'd been with them forever, with you at the Fillmore and everything like that. He was just like, well, they didn't want to cancel the show. Something happened to Dickie. So they were just like, well, Zach's a huge Allman Brothers freak. So why don't we just have Zach come out for the show just to make it up, you know, so you don't have to cancel the gig. So I fly in there and I get, you know, and obviously it's Greg Allman and the guy, you know, they're my heroes as well, you know, Butch and the whole guy. And then Warren's super amazing and everything like that. So we get up there and I flew in at like, the gig was on a Sunday night. I got in like Saturday night or whatever. So Sunday morning, we're having a little sound check. And Greg's like, yo, Zach, brother, you know how to play, Dreams, brother. I go, yeah, that Molly Hatchet song, right? It's amazing. I love Dreams, you know? And he goes, I mean, watch, everyone else was cranking up. That it was just like, they go, Greg's like, man, Zach, don't make us have to send you home, bro. Don't make us have to send you home.
Yes.
It's like I'm playing for Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's like, hey, Zach, you know how to play All Along the Watchtower? Yeah, the Jimi Hendrix song, right? You know?
Security.
Yeah, you can leave now. And Bob, and you can walk home. We're not flying you home. yeah, but
that
no,
must have been.
No, and I've been very fortunate. I mean, all my heroes that I've met I've met them on a good day, so they were all super cool.
Yeah,
so you know, it doesn't ruin it, so you can never listen to the music ever again. You know,
I mean, speaking of a good day versus a bad day, can you remember like the last time that you were in one of those bad day moments on the road specifically? It's been a while, I know, but those things are pretty no. rough, and I would love to hear about it.
No, I don't know. I mean, back in the day, a bad day, obviously, if we ran out of any booze in the submarine, I mean, that's just bad for everybody. That's just bad all around. But I mean, you know, priorities. Do we have air in the tires or do we have beer? We can do without air in the tires, can we? Yeah.
We can
just
walk.
Just put beer in it. Just put beer in the tires.
Yeah. There's booze. But I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, it's not even bad days. It's just comedy. You know what I mean? It's just
great way to look at it.
Yeah. Like you said. Well, when I do have a bad day, JD just knocks me out. So, you know.
I was going to say, yeah, it's just fisticuffs.
Yeah.
Hey, so Zach, I got to ask, it's enormously popular. What got you into the coffee business?
That was from Blasco.
Yeah.
So me and Blasco roll together, you know, so he's the obviously we play with Ozzy, and then obviously we play in Zach Sabbath, and with, you know, Black Label, he's the Peter Grant of Black Label. You know, I'm Jimmy Page here, and, you know.
Beating people to a pulp in the green room, is he?
It's good, but, you know, we're nowhere near as popular, but we like to make believe. But anyway, so the thing is this. Lasco, it was his buddies that he knew over at Death Wish. And you know, John and the guys. And I was like, yeah. They was like, yeah, you want to do like a coffee or something? I was like, yeah, no problem. I mean, because obviously we drink it. So they were just like, send over a couple different samples. And I mean, it was just like, you know, it's like the three of us getting a bunch of different ones that we wanted. And you're like, you know, we wanted the strong, and so it tasted like there's like espresso in it or whatever, you know, so like a double shot in the coffee or whatever. It was just like, and I just drank a bunch of different ones until we got to the one that we liked. And it was like, yeah, whatever one this one is the one. That's the winner. So it was like, and that was it. And that was when Odin Force was born. So, yeah, so we've just been doing that, you know.
Yeah, so you have been busy, even though not on the road, but I mean, with 2019, you had a couple of Sonic Brew 20th anniversary, and then Pride and Glory Deluxe came out again. So yeah, you've been busy regardless of how you feel busy is, and what we see as consumers and fans, we just go, yeah, he's the motor's still running there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just no different than, like, you know, when we were kids. Between mowing lawns, shoveling snow, getting a paper route, whatever. You know, I mean, it's just, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you get to be your own boss. So, you know what I mean? Regardless, when we were kids, you have your own paper route, you're going door to door, mowing lawns and shoveling snow or whatever. You're your own boss. So, you know, I enjoy it.
Was that the genesis then of Wild Audio as well? You just wanted to be your own boss? Or was it one of those lifelong dreams, like I have my own?
Yeah, like my analogy all the time is just kind of like, you know, if we're Derek Jeter or Don Mattingly, like, you know, we played for the Yankees, then you coach the Yankees, then you're, you know, general manager, then you're vice president of operations. The only next step is for the three of us to own a baseball team. You know what I mean? So then, you know, we played for the Yankees, and like, let's say Milwaukee Brewers come up for sale. It's just like, how about we get now we're involved with everything. You know what I mean? Between the trades, the down to the way that the field's going to look, you know, who's mowing the lawn, you know what I mean? So the restaurants in the stadium, the parking at the stadium, making the roads better to get to the stadium. I'm just saying everything. Put it this way, every day there's something going on. It's not just, you know, the trades and everything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I still have friends over at Gibson and everything. And all the companies I work with, I'll always have relationships with everybody because they're my friends. And, you know, basically that's where I came from, and they're like family to me. So, no, it was just a matter of me wanting to do more. You know what I mean? Because, like, the same thing with Oz. I mean, it's just like I couldn't be treated any better, right? You know, with whether it was Gibson and Marshall and with playing with the boss. But, you know, if you want to sing and you're going to want to write lyrics and you're going to want to produce the records and you're going to want to deal with the album artwork and you're going to want to deal with all this other stuff, then, you know, and the choreography and the dance steps and all the other things that we have going on, you know, are we doing soft shoe on this tour? Are we doing tap dancery or soft shoe? What are we doing?
I hope it's soft shoe.
Now we get to make those decisions. But I mean, yeah, you know, so it's just, to me, it's just a progression and a matter of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a curious soul, like behind everything else is just curiosity. But
at the same time, you know, like you have to want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, otherwise I could ask you guys, you want to do it? And you're like, Zach, I couldn't be bothered, man. I'd rather just show up and do what I got to do. You know what I mean? And there's something to be said for all of it. There's no right and there's no wrong. You know what I mean? If you're up for doing it, then cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It goes to show, like, just how important the squad that you roll with it actually is in your day-to-day. Like, how valuable you believe each other are to each other system.
Yeah, without a doubt. But I mean, I always tell kids, you know, they're like, hey, Zach, is there any advice you can give to my son or my daughter or whatever? You know, because they're musicians or whatever. It's just like, yeah, what? Like Jimmy Page, make the band your life, not your job, your life. You know what I mean? Led Zeppelin is his life to this day as we're speaking right now. You know what I mean? It's whether, like, put it this way, he's making sure there's no bogus stuff going out there. There's no anything. I mean, he's in control of the entire thing. You know what I mean? So, and I mean, he lives, breathes, everything, every waking moment is Zeppelin. You know what I mean? Yeah. And his pad, you know, I mean, dealing from when he first started to, through the Yardbirds and everything like that. But I mean, he's in control. No one else is controlling that. You know what I mean? And just make that, make your band your job. You know what I mean? Whether we started our own, you know, our bed and breakfast place or, you know, our own little coffee house. And we started it from there. That's, we live and breathe it. And then we grow it from there. You know what I mean? So that, do the same thing with your band. I mean, when I look back on it now, when I was younger, before, you know, I was blessed with having the boss in my life, you know, having, you know, you make the band your everything. You know what I mean? Like if I would have known, you know, at 15, like me and JD will always talk about it. You know, it's just like with me and JD, you know, we always talk about, you know, the three Princeton Drive sessions. Cause I was huge Al D guy and JD was a Jocko guy. So like when we were 16 years old, we're sitting there playing, you know, JD'd have some of these recordings when he went up to Berkeley. And they're like, oh, who's that? It's like, oh, my buddy Zach. You know, it's like, man, he must really dig Al DiMeola. So, you know, playing, us jamming in my parents' bedroom. So I was just saying, if we would have known, we would have been doing Black Label then. You know what I mean? At 7, but you don't know, you know what I mean? So, I mean, if that was the case, Led Zeppelin would have wrote Stairway to Heaven on the first album, but they weren't there yet. You know what I mean? So,
do you think it was important for you to, you got to kind of got thrown into the deep end going with Oz right off kind of as your intro into the kind of the big leagues there. Was it important for you to have that then in order to do Black Label, to kind of go through that 10-year process with Oz before you started Black Label?
I guess. I mean, like I said, I don't have any regrets. You know, when you look back, you go, oh, we should have done this, or we could have done that better, or we could have done this. Because if that were the case, we wouldn't be sitting here talking right now. You know what I mean? So we wouldn't be getting ready to go to the next thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, like, it's like saying with Sabbath, if they wouldn't have, things wouldn't have fallen apart at the end there, then if that wouldn't have happened, then Oz wouldn't have met Randy and the fellas wouldn't have met Ronnie. You know, like that wouldn't have happened. And, you know, and this massive explosion that just changed everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When Sabbath ended, you know what I mean? And they both parted ways. It was just, we were just talking about the fallout of that alone, of how it affected so many people's lives, of just, you know, like Kevin DeBrow always was wanting to have success. We were saying, but he would never had it with Randy until Randy left. It wasn't until he got Carlos in the band, because otherwise those songs wouldn't have been written. Bang Your Head and, you know, all those other things. I'm just saying. It's like the best thing that could have ever happened to, you know, with Quiet Riot was Randy leaving. You know what I mean? Because they would have never had that success if Randy would have stayed in the band. You know what I mean? And Randy would have been, had, you know, the legend that we know who he is now, as having Ozzy as that foil to bring his greatness to light. You know what I mean? His creativity, you know, it was like Diary of a Madman, Revelation, Mother Earth. And how are those songs working in Quiet Riot? Old classical influence. Those songs would have never seen the light of death.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, you can't have any regrets to where, how you got to where you're at. But I mean, it's just like, I guess playing with Oz, without a doubt. I mean, it's just like, if I wouldn't have run into Oz, I wouldn't be nowhere near where everything's at. You know what I mean?
But you just mentioned those several bands that kind of had they broke up and they created these other almost bigger type of things and they branched out from there. But the great part about it is there was a resolution and they all kind of came back together decades later, healed those old war wounds and are still fantastic to this day.
No, without a doubt. I mean, you know, between, you know, because Ronnie leaving Rainbow, starting with Pony and Geezer and Bill, like those albums are just epic records. You know, they're classics.
Yeah.
You know, the first two records. And then that springboarded him for his own solo career, you know, without those two albums. You know what I mean? So, And it's just like amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, you said something earlier, and I don't think I realized this about your come up. You said that you didn't get the linebacker position in high school, so you started to play the guitar. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, I went over to, you know, because like my heroes growing up, I mean, obviously I love Randy White from the Dallas Cowboys, and then and Jack Lambert, you know, with the Steelers and stuff like that. So, but it was just like, I remember going to football camp, meeting Jack Lambert and everything like that. So, you know, but it really is, you know, talking about you and playing Pop Warner and everything like that, you know, and football was my whole life at that point. So it was just like, I'm meeting Jack Lambert, and the coaches that I had back then were amazing. Cause I mean, things that you learn when you were a kid, you still carry with you the rest of your life. They really do. I mean, when you have cool coaches and teachers and things like that. So just like, I was truly blessed in that regard, but when high school came rolling around and I couldn't play middle linebacker, it was just like Pop Warner, it was linebacker all the time. And I would play fullback too, but it was just like the defense was what I loved. But the whole thing is, I had it planned out. I mean, it was just like, I was either going to go to Penn State University or go to Ohio State, because both of them are pretty much linebacker U. So the whole thing is, I had this grand plan when I was like, you know, 11 years old. This is what I was going to do. Yeah. It was just, but when I got to high school, I just couldn't put the weight on, you know, and then they were like, oh, we're going to make you a cornerback or a safety or something. I was like, nah, if I can't play linebacker, if I can't play middle linebacker, I'm not playing. So, I remember we went over to coach's house, Mr. Wright's house, and my mother was with me, you know, she brought, because Mr. Wright wanted to talk me into continue playing football in high school. So they had a Les Paul sitting in the room, a Sunburst Les Paul. And he was just like, my mom was like, oh, Mr. Wright, do you play guitar? He goes, no. He goes, I play some country songs, just chords and stuff. He goes, but my son Leroy is the one that plays. Well, Leroy came out, and I remember he was 10 years older than me. So I was probably 14 at the time. So he's like 24. And first time I saw a guy with like long hair, like looked like a rock star. And everything. You know, I had a like Harley Davidson hat on, long hair, came over and he just started playing guitar. And I remember it was just like when Crazy Train came out. And I remember he could play Crazy Train. He was playing Sabbath songs for me. He played some Led Zeppelin stuff. Then he started playing Purple Haze and all that. I was just, to physically see it done in front of your hands, I was just like, this is like the coolest thing ever. And it was just like, just watching his hands and just like the whole fretboard going, the possibilities are endless here. And so then I was just like, that's what I want to do with my life. So I just, I started taking lessons from Leroy, and he was great. So, I mean, it was just like, because he would teach me theory, but he would teach me, you know, how to play like Hey Joe, you know, and then I mean, and I still remember to this day, like major breakthroughs, like, you know, learning the intro, down, 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 you know, like going, oh my God, I can play, it sounds just like, and playing with the record, you know, and going, oh my God, it sounds just like the record. So then, and Back in Black, I remember when I could finally learn the lick, you know, I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, you know, like learning magic tricks, you know what I mean? It was just like,
right.
So, and Leroy was great. It was like the same thing, you know, it was like, as far as scales go and everything in theory, like it would be like, you know, a whole engine sitting on the ground with parts everywhere. And, you know, it was just like, obviously it's overwhelming and it's baffling, but you know, he, same thing with the fretboard. It was just like, how's that? This piece has to go with this piece. Otherwise it won't work. You know what I mean? And just how to connect everything together. And it was like, oh, okay. So I see how you do it. You know what I mean? So it was just, he was phenomenal. So I took lessons from Leroy for probably about a year and a half, something like that. But I remember like every Saturday, my parents dropped me, like it, I couldn't wait to get there. It was the greatest. So, you know, just an hour lesson, and then I, all week long, it would just be, I'd get home from school. I'd start practicing from 2:30 till midnight. And then like and then there was other nights where I'd just stay up all night long and end up going to school with my guitar player magazines in my books. You know what I mean? And just like, you know, make it look like I'm doing whatever, you know, and that, or I just pass out in class, you know what I mean? So, but anyways, so that's, you know, you got to put in the effort, but, so that's
So you started playing and practicing when you were 14.
Yeah.
What age were you when you joined Ozzy?
19.
In 5 years, you must have just been just natural talent that you just kind of found out was your natural talent.
I tell anybody. I mean, whether you
had the woodshed for sure,
or Yngwie or John McLaughlin or Al DiMeola or Frank Marino, anybody, Jimi Hendrix. Good Lord gives you a gift. You gotta water it. You can't. Yngwie didn't just wake up one day and is Yngwie. You know what I mean? I mean, he, we talk about it when we're in the sub or whatever. He's like, yeah, Zach. He goes, I remember just like endless hours of jamming on stuff until you can get it right. With him with his, Paganini or Bach pieces or whatever when he first started. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm going to die trying to get this thing. You know what I mean? And just going over and over. It's just repetition, man. And the same thing with King Edward. You know what I mean? I guarantee you when Ed started, it was just like learning pentatonic scales and the licks, and then eventually him being able to play the whole solo to Crossroads. You know what I mean? That was like a major breakthrough. But no, you just have, like anything, man, you have to put in the effort. You gotta put in the work. Anything.
Yeah. I took lessons when I played guitar, not anymore as much as I should, but I remember those nights when I was in middle school and I wanted to be I was really into basketball, and that was my thing at the time. And I got on the team, but I got third string, right? And at the same time, I had a cousin who had a guitar. It's a very similar story to you. And I went to my aunt's house and we were talking. My cousin taught me how to play basketball. And he had this this old PB, the Van, I forget the model, but it was the Van Halen one. And I saw in the corners painted all night. I had no idea who Van Halen was, but I asked what that was who plays that. And unbeknownst to me, it was my cousin. And he asked me if I wanted to borrow it. And I said, yeah. And I went home with this tiny little shitty eight-inch speaker amp and the guitar, and I sat there and I didn't know what I was doing. He came over a couple weeks later and said, "What'd you learn?" I said, "I think I know how to play this," and it was just like a power chord or something.
And he showed me Spanish Fly. Yeah,
and he was all like, "All right, see you later."
Does he have natural talent? No, I made a pact with Satan last night.
Yeah. I just got wounds all over my just like blister. But he
and he converted back to Catholicism afterwards. Kind of very similar to my Sabbath story.
when he left that day, I knew it. Now I was like, oh, you the way that you described the motor parts, I had never thought about how that can correlate to the guitar or anything you're trying to do when you don't understand it. If you just think about it like, okay, well, we have YouTube now, right? There's something that kids can watch and watch somebody physically do it in front of them without having to be there, which I think is incredible. In my case, it's similar to yours. I just had to watch him. And then I got so obsessed that every night I'd play until I just fell asleep holding it in my bed.
Wow.
I'd wake up for school the next day and like, oh shit. And I would try to like call in sick or fake being sick, so I can continue playing. Those early moments, I was just going down memory lane, man. It was very cool to hear those
times, man, for sure.
Yeah, very
now,
cool.
Do you still have the PV guitar though? That's the big.
No, he took that shit right back from me. He was all like, "This is mine."
That way, because you still have it.
I'll have to ask him. I would be very bummed if he.
Yeah,
if
you should
did.
Buy that guitar, bro. That's what you should. Ask him.
I'm about to figure out. Wow, I got a to-do list after this.
That's kind of like your childhood memory guitar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Worst case, I'll go beat it out of him.
Yeah, like the Smiths brothers, like the older brother.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Zach, are you working on new music for any of your projects right now?
Yeah, we got, we just did, Fellas came out here a little while ago. We did about 30 songs up at the Vatican, and then, so we'll sift through that. And then I think we're going to have the Goose. J. Diesel is going to come out here probably right after Easter. And then we're going to finish up the new album and then have that in the can ready to go probably, maybe 7 months from now, 6, 7 months or something like that. But it's just like, Yeah, because we got the box set coming out and everything like that. You know, like I said, the box set, the box set the world's been waiting for. Well, maybe not the world, but I'm sure with certainty I can say a small select group of people are very excited. But, yeah, so we're working on that right now. We got that, the box set's all wrapped up and everything like that. So, and we just did like 3 videos for that, I guess, you know, for the songs that we're going to release off the box set. So, but yeah, we'll have that. That'll probably hold us over until, you know, the world can get back to everybody start touring. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but I mean, it's so funny because everybody's always just like, man, Zach, you must be itching to get back out. I go, no, not really. I kind of enjoy it. You know, not, I mean, I'm just saying. No, I mean, like I said, this is probably the longest I've been home.
Sure.
Sleeping in my own bed and actually getting up and cleaning the dog run and seeing the dogs. And, you know, because, I mean, for me, it's usually I'm home for about maybe 5 days or longest, maybe 2 weeks. And then I'm back out on a, you know, roll. And like you said, I don't, it's not that I mean, I look forward to getting up on stage every night and playing. So, because I love it. I love making the records too. So it just, I never understood that either. I remember like when we were kids, you'd hear like, oh, I don't like making the albums. I just like doing live shows or vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, like I only like making the records. To me, the albums are like, you know, it's a controlled environment. Like if you're Salvador Dali, you know, you can look, draw them and step back and look at it and go, you'd be like, Zach, what do you like better, the melting clock or the clock just normal? I go, yeah, the melting one looks pretty cool, man. And you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to go with the melt. You know, and then you could dial it in or whatever and go, Zach, you're looking at the sun and you're going, maybe it needs a little more orange in it. I go, oh, put it on there, see what it looks like. You know, and then you could do it and go, actually, no, I like it better the way it was. It's like, all right, good. You know what I mean? That's the beauty about making records. You know what I mean? Because you can make them exactly the way you want them and dial them in and then put the frame on them and the whole nine yards. But, I mean, you know, live is – It's a free for all, man. You know, it is what it is.
Do you ever look back at the 70s and always go, how in the hell were bands like Kiss and all them putting out 2 albums a year?
Yeah.
How is that possible? Plus
early,
tour.
Early Black Label. I mean, we were doing an album a year, basically. I mean, touring in between it the whole time. But I mean, but I remember asking Mom about it. We were talking about the whole thing, you know, just the workload on the 70s bands. You know what I mean? Every band was doing it. It wasn't just Zeppelin or Sabbath or Aerosmith or Alice Cooper or the Stones. I mean, like, everyone was pumping them out, man. And I mean, like, when you look at the dates on the back of those albums, it's like, oh my God, that's 2 albums in 1 year. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I mean, I, you know, I mean, like you said, but the touring wasn't as insane now. You know what I mean? Like, whereas I'm saying, whereas Kiss, if they made Destroyer, if it was by today, because I mean, that's such a classic. I mean, all the records back then, you know, they're all slamming. But I mean, Destroyer had all those hit songs on it and everything like that. They probably would have toured on that album for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it was today. You know, between Beth, Detroit, Rock City, I Want to Rock, you know, they would have been out without a doubt. You know, like, because the album would have had legs on it. They would have been rolling for a year and a half, 2 years. You know, if they were still packing them in, it's just like, why are we going to put another record out that's going to stomp on this one? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And it'd be like, you know, John Travolta has Grease out and it's going through the roof and then we're going to just crush him with Cyanide Fever. It's just like, well, let this thing die down first, then hit him with Cyanide Fever. You know what I mean? You don't want to
compare
yourself. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Speaking of touring and Sabbath, I know Oz has had to cancel a couple of tours because of, well, obviously the COVID, but I think there's a few dates that got moved. What are we looking at? We looking at a 2022 for Oz?
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully. I mean, the boss has been doing his, you know, he's doing all his stuff to, you know, between his neck being messed up and, you know, and feeling better and, you know, his hands and everything like that, and his legs, you know, just, he's doing his rehab, you know, we got to get his bench back up to, you know, 850 pounds. Right.
Bench squats and deads.
Before he gets back out on there on the platform with his deadlift and his bench and his squat, we got to make sure his numbers are back to where they were. You know,
you got to get it back in the dungeon. Get that going.
The black label Iron Dan over here, the Doom. Yeah. Without a doubt, get the boss in there. Get him in the power rack.
Listen, we want to ask you. You've been on a couple times. You've done some special stuff for us. And the guys, Jeff, Dario, and JD have been always so nice and helpful on the cruise. What was your experience like for Shiprock?
Blast, man. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I think they're great. You know what I mean? It's just like, because the first time we did the cruise, I could only imagine during the drinking days being out on one of those cruises. I mean, forget about it. That would be complete Animal House, Black Label, Berserker Fest stuff going on. If we were during the drinking days of Black Label, if we were out on a, you're out on a cruise ship, man. I mean, it's nothing but boozing, then more boozing. We're on a ship, bro. What are we doing? You know, so I had a blast. Every Shiprock and every cruise that we've done, I've had a blast. I mean, we did a Zach Sabbath one over in Europe. We were on one, and then they're a lot of fun, man, for sure. Once you do one, you know why everybody likes going out and having a good time with their friends. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a good time to get together with all your buds and go out and then, you know, and see things. It's definitely cool.
For a man like you, too, and how busy you keep, that little moment of, we're working, but at the same time, I got my friends, my family on the ship with me, and I'm getting to see the folks that I haven't gotten to see in years, maybe at this point in time, because we're all so busy on the road touring. So yeah. I can only imagine that, like, it's kind of like all right, cool.
It's definitely a cool thing to hook up with friends and stuff like that you haven't seen in years. You know, it's like, dude, it's cool. I don't know, man, you know?
The 2018 meet and greet where you were the first act that people have met, classic. It's a classic. Oh, that was our highest turnout for a meet and greet ever, man. So I just remember that. Just everybody got a personal treatment, and I thought it was spectacular.
Yeah, it's always a good time, man.
For sure. Yeah. Hey, listen, before we want to get this thing with you called Walk the Plank, which is basically.
What is it? Walk the plank?
Walk the plank. We ask you three questions. Chad has one. I have one. And then we have one that a fan had sent in prior earlier in the week. And it's a random question. You give whatever answer pops in your head. Before that, Zach Sabbath, how did that all come along?
Actually, it was just, what were we doing? Those, what were they? The Metal All-Stars. That's what it was at first. When we started doing it, and Blasco set that up. And so what would happen is every time when we were playing with another drummer for the thing, me and Blasco, you know, the set would always end up becoming, you know, the drummer wants to know what tunes he should learn. So basically anybody in, you know, you just go through your education of pretty much everyone's learned it. Is either a Sabbath song, Zeppelin, or Deep Purple. You know what I mean? Like, you know, as far as your rock riff education. So, I mean, it was just the meeting ground would always be like, well, ask him if he wants to do War Pigs, NIB, Fairies Wear Boots, and maybe Snowblind or something. So the running joke with Blasco, he just started going, should I just tell him to do the Zach Sabbath set? So that's where it was born.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we were always doing that. And then that's when we started. Then we just said, we named it Zach Sabbath. You know, I was the one to joke with it. So, you know, and then, because I told you, Joey C is the punk rock aficionado of Zach Sabbath. So now we're going to start Zach Flag. It's going to be our punk rock.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's good.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, instead of four bars for life, because there's only three of us idiots, so it'll be three bars for life.
God damn, that's great. That is awesome. Exactly. Hey, because what's great about Zach Sabbath is when you go see you guys, it's you guys kind of go deep cut for some of the Sabbath stuff that we never get to hear when they were out doing their thing or Oz doesn't do, and doesn't touch these days, but you guys do it, and it's always fantastic.
Oh, thanks, brother. Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, to me, there is no bad Sabbath song. So, no. I mean, they're all good. But, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's not the songs that you hear on the radio all the time.
Correct, so, yeah.
Without a doubt, man.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
So, Chad, you want to start Zach off with
– like the running joke on that one. Here we are playing keg parties. There's the three of us playing keg parties, doing these same songs when I was 15, and now I'm 54, and I'm still playing these same songs. Except at keg parties with a couple more people.
Zach, and better beer, I hope.
Oh, well, everybody goes like this. So, Zach, how did the whole Zach Sabbath thing come about? There's an actual whole game plan behind this thing. It's not, there's a method to the madness. See, the thing is this. See, when Black Sabbath did the end tour, they contractually signed with all the promoters that they cannot tour ever again because that was the sell, the end. This is the last tour. So now what we did with Zach Sabbath, we created it specifically for what we do is it's basically it'll be Zach Sabbath featuring Ozzy Osbourne. So he's in Zach Sabbath singing his songs. And he went back in the day.
There
we do Zach Sabbath featuring Ozzy and Geezer Butler. So we get both of them in. Then Tony featuring Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and then Ozzy Osbourne. Then eventually it just goes Zach Sabbath featuring Ozzy Osbourne, Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, and Bill Ward. So now it is official. Zach Sabbath featuring Black Sabbath.
There you go.
So that's now we're going to go back out on the full reunion tour and do it legally. Without being sued by the promoters that they're breaking their contract. Kind of almost like with Prince, with his name. He can get out of his contracts because he's now a symbol. You see what I'm saying?
How many promoters just threw themselves off the bridge?
That's right. Now you know the game plan.
Yeah, that's great.
One more thing before we start this little game, Zach.
That's what I'm just saying, because if the guy's got a bad gambling problem or something and they're broke,
they'll
never be broke.
Never.
They go out as Zach Sabbath featuring Black Sabbath. That's the retirement plan.
Never heard of this band. Let's give them a shot. the Black Label chapters, the Black Label fans, what an amazing bunch.
I think it's great in regard that it's bigger than me. And the whole thing is, it's like, and I always thought that the Smiths, you know, they had all the older brothers. You had Scott and George and everything like that. And so, Dougie was the older brother that was a huge deadhead, right? And all I remember is seeing all his buddies coming over, because the Smiths would have these massive keg parties right next door with the in-ground pool. I mean, just insanity over at the house. These wiffle ball games, everything like that. But everybody would come in with the deadhead stuff on, you know, with all the tie dye and everything like that. And they would go from like Jersey to Boston to all the way over to Cleveland, and then you know they'd road trip it for like 2 weeks and just go see the dead. And I was just being a kid. I remember going, that is like the coolest thing ever. That the band just brings all these people together that you've never even known that were like, and I mean, the coolest thing is like hearing people ending up going, yeah, Zach, this is my wife here. We ended up, she had like a Black Label t-shirt on. We were in a pub one day. I walked over to her, I go, oh, you like Black Label? And we started talking. The next thing you know, now they're married and they have like three kids. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you end up, you guys are together and you're like, you know, like Justin, you're the best man at Chad's wedding. And you're like, yeah, Zach, we were at a pub on a Black Label t-shirt on. You know, Chad came up to you and was like, hey, dude, you did a band. Like, yeah. Next thing, never even met each other before. And now you're the best man at his wedding. You know what I mean? So that's like a whole Grateful Dead type thing. So, I mean, it's just like, I think it's great. It's because, like I said, it's bigger than the band, and it's, you know, just like people, And then you also have people like, you know, from the Boston chapter over there, hooking up with people from the Cleveland chapter, like, oh, dude, we're going to fly out and hook up for a couple of days, then we'll go down to the gig. You know what I mean? Which basically is a complete dead type thing.
Yeah, it's a lifer, definitely a lifer type of lifestyle. And yeah, they're going to be around long after we're all gone.
Yeah, the kids will be doing it. I think it's great. I mean, the same thing with the dead. I mean, like I said, I mean, obviously, you know, St. Jerry over there, but I mean, it's just, it's this whole thing. It's this living, breathing thing that's bigger than him. You know what I mean? So it's awesome. I'm, you know, truly blessed, man.
Have you ever seen the movie Big Lebowski?
For sure.
Have you seen The Big Lebowski before? The movie?
What's that, bud?
Have you seen the movie The Big Lebowski?
No, actually, that movie I've never seen. Obviously, I know the character.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, him in his bathrobe all the time, you know, and everybody always has him on, you know.
It's an incredible movie. You should definitely watch it. I referenced what you were saying, and the whole time I thought of one thing and one thing only. It's in the movie, he gets his rug stolen, right? By these guys who are essentially trying to get some money from a rich guy, and they confuse him for another Lebowski. But his whole thing is the rug really tied the room together. And like, that's what I kind of felt like Black Label Society has been able to do, is that rug really ties the room together. And that's, I just kept picturing that entire.
Everybody gets together and they go, dude, I really enjoy it when, you know, JD just knocks Zach out. They go, I do too. It's a common thing. They get together for that.
Yeah. Well, Chad, let's play Walk the Plank with Zach.
Oh my God.
And
I'm so excited.
If you can start. Yeah.
Yeah, man. These are just like general questions. So there's nothing to do with career based scenarios here, but my question for you.
Lay it on me.
All right. So what was your favorite meal when you were a child?
It's got to be peanut butter and jelly, right? I don't think that goes out of style with anybody.
I just ate two of them earlier, right before we got on this. So
now I mean, I'm a Jif guy. Skippy's good too. But I'd have to say when I was a kid, peanut butter and jelly. And also I don't eat cereal anymore, but I remember back when I was a kid, I mean, obviously, you know, all the ones that have no sugar in them, you know, like you got, you know, what, Fruity Pebbles, Cocoa Pebbles, Cocoa Puff, no sugar whatsoever, Captain Crunch, you know, all of them, man.
Smacks.
That's just a methamphetamine right there for kids.
That's great. Creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
Got to go creamy. Creamy, the natural.
Respect. That's what I like. All right. Thank you.
All right, Zach. Mine is this.
I do enjoy the chunky every now and then when, you know, I just want to look down into the toilet bowl and see just a pool of blood, right? The ball. And I go, that was a little brutal coming out.
We got to treat ourselves every once in a while.
Exactly. just crushing my sugar walls, just ripping it out as it comes back. So anyway. Carry on. Next question.
Fucking A. That's great, man. What was the most spiritual moment you've ever had in your life?
I guess, you know, it was probably maybe earlier today when the kids weren't in the house and I had one moment with Barbara Ann. So, you know what I mean? That was rather spiritual, I must say.
Hallelujah. That's great. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Those spirits awesome. Passed out. That's right. I still can't feel my legs.
I'm going in again.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh man, so we do this thing for the third question where it's like a fan randomly generated question. So we gather them and then we generate one for you randomly. And this is what came up. It was, what would you love to find at a yard sale? Also, I really love the idea of watching you, if I'm in my garage, watching you walk up to my yard sale and loving something that's in my yard. So
I would have to go with either some Mego dolls, like, you know, some old, you know, whether you got a Spider-Man doll Batman, Robin, Star Trek dolls.
Yeah.
Maybe the Star Trek, the bridge.
Oh yeah.
You spun it and, you know, and then, you know, the transporter, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Anything like that. I think just child memory toys.
I love that.
At a garage sale.
Yeah, I remember this.
You heard that,
remember
folks.
Those old G.I. Joe lockers they used to have back in like 70, like 71 to 75, you could get the G.I. Joe lockers. Those were always a great find.
Exactly. Or else, you know, what I always say musically, you know, it's like, Zach, you know, whatever Black Label riff we're writing and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, I was at the Tony Iommi garage sale.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what's that behind that plate? And it's like, oh, I wrote that during volume 4. How much you want for that one?
Right.
Give me $10. Yeah.
No problem. Hey, Zach, before we let you go tonight, man, again, thank you for your time. And this has been a super pleasure and honor. So thank you again. I was a big fan of your book, Bringing Metal to the Children. Are you going to plan on doing anything else like that again?
All you got to do is live and breathe, my friend. And just go out on the road again for 6 weeks. And then there's another book right there.
Yeah.
It's like a Seinfeld episode. We don't have to write any of these episodes.
Right.
They're written for us.
They just, you know what I mean? Just lay it in print.
All you got to do is just go back on certain times. Remember that one day when blah, 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 and you go, that's an episode right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
You could do adventures in dog walking. If you want, in the meantime.
You know what? I bought that book and I got on a plane and I started reading it and I'm in the back of the plane and I'm just fucking howling at some of the shit going on. I'm thinking, man, this is insane. And people are looking at me like I'm some sort of like fucked up asshole. What is that guy?
Me and Eric were writing it. We were crying and then like Eric would spin something on it. I'd be on the floor crying. And I was just like, we got to keep that, put that in the book. You know what I mean? And he'd be crying, I'd be crying. I mean, it was, we had a blast making that thing.
Yeah, fantastic. Once again, Zach, thanks, bud. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you very much for being here.
We definitely hope
that was great. I had a blast.
Yeah. Hey, we want to thank everyone for tuning in to Making Waves. We part of the STM podcast family. Please find us on Spotify and subscribe. And we have to really quickly thank our producer, Al McManus, our engineer, Jennifer Zito, and our show coordinator, Heather Smith, and of course, the captain, Alan Koenig, Zach Wild. New product coming out probably end of the year, touring.
I guess, yeah, or something like maybe around the end of April, I think we're going to have the box set out.
Oh, you know, okay. Label,
none more black. So
of course.
Of course we have to call it that.
Of course, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's almost so black, it could be none more black.
N-U-N.
That's exactly. A commercial.
I can hear some sugar in my voice. And trust me, the album, the whole box set, it's in doubly.
Of course it is.
She meant told me. All right,
speaking of, so the guy who plays Surian Faith, when he passed away like 2 weeks ago?
Wait, what happened?
You know, Sir Ian Faith from Spinal Tap, the manager with the cricket bat?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he passed away like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's, man.
That sucks.
Was that Janet on the on Spinal Tap that mentioned the doubly?
Actually, well, I think so. It was his girlfriend, but I remember, you know, Don Sinclair, who plays with Ozzy. I know John said, you know, he worked on No Rest for the Wicked. We toured on that one and everything like that. But John recorded all the keyboard parts on Spinal Tap. And he said the entire time, John's British, the entire time they were doing that album, they never came out of character. And then one day, the guys were sitting at, like, they were in catering or they were at the food truck or whatever. And they started talking and he goes, oh my God. He goes, check it out. Goes, what is that? Like your Yankee accent, you know? And he goes, he had no idea that who they were. Like that they're American. You know, that was Lenny and Scream in the whole nine yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he had no idea because they were in the British accent the whole entire time making the movie.
Brilliant. I mean, that's wild.
They were catering. They were in their British accent.
Yeah.
That was the best of. This one review was just two words. What was that? for shark sandwich. It was just two words. What was that? Shit sandwich. And they were like, they can't write that, can they?
That's not real.
What the best was, though, that the gospel according to Spinal Tap, when he goes, the question, the big question is here is, what day did God create Spinal Tap? And why couldn't he have rested on that day?
Amazing. Amazing. Well, dude, thanks, Zach. We appreciate you. And please say hi to Barbara Ann. And hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. Guys, great talking to you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again.
Absolutely.
See you soon, man.
Thanks, sir.
All right. My brothers.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.